This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. After 35,000 fans of the short-lived NBC series Freaks and Geeks signed an internet petition begging for the show's DVD release, the reissue of that cult series was put on the front burner. On April 6th, the complete Freaks and Geeks collection will be released, including six episodes never broadcast by NBC during its one-season run in 1999-2000. It's a quirky, funny, cleverly detailed remembrance of the various factions and traumas of high school. What the Wonder Years was to high school in the 60s, Freaks and Geeks was to the start of the 1980s. Set in Michigan, the show starred John Daly as a self-aware 14-year-old geek named Sam, and Linda Cardellini, now of NBC's ER, as his slightly older sister, Lindsay. Joe Flaherty played their not-always-helpful father. Here they are, having dinner and a typically uncomfortable conversation, this time about Sam's concerns that he'll have to shower with the rest of the boys after gym class.
I don't want to get naked in front of other guys.
Well, who does? Do you know how many men have seen me naked in my lifetime? A lot. But do you think I'm comfortable with it? No, but I live with it.
I just don't want them to tease me.
Oh, who would tease you?
All right, look. Here's what you do. You tell them you're proud of your body. That'll show them.
Sam, you have a beautiful body. Doesn't he, Harold?
Yes, I just said he had a beautiful body.
Those other boys are probably just jealous. Lindsay, tell your brother what a beautiful body he has.
Mom?
Mom?
Lindsay?
What?
Your mother asked you to tell your brother that he has a beautiful body.
That is so stupid.
Lindsay, tell him.
It's not gonna help him.
Lindsay, just say the words. It'll make him feel better.
Sam, you have a beautiful body. You're an Adonis, a slab of beef. If I wasn't your sister, oh my God.
Lindsay, can it?
On today's Fresh Air, we'll meet the team responsible for Freaks and Geeks. Producer-writer Judd Apatow, who we'll meet in a few minutes, and our first guest, Freaks and Geeks creator Paul Feig. In addition to creating Freaks and Geeks, Feig also worked on and directed some episodes of another short-lived coming-of-age comedy, Judge Apatow's Fox series Undeclared. That one was about a young man reinventing himself, or trying to, as a college freshman. Fans of both those shows may suspect that Feig was kind of nerdy himself when he was growing up. And his memoir, called Kick Me, Adventures in Adolescence, confirms those suspicions. Terry spoke with Feig in 2002 and began by asking him to read from the beginning of his memoir.
There is no God. I mean, there can't be. Think about it. If there were, then things in life would have to be fair. There would be no suffering, there would be no war, there would be no poverty, and none of us would be born with last names that could make us the brunt of adolescent jokes for the entirety of our school careers. In a truly just universe, no child's last name would be Cox, Butts, or Seaman. No teenager would come from a family named the Hardens or the Balls. A young Richard Shaft wouldn't have to come home from school crying each day. An under-endowed Lisa Titwell wouldn't beg her parents to let her finish her education at an all-girls school. And an adolescent Paul Feig wouldn't have had to endure hearing the letters E and I consistently taken out of his last name and replaced with the letter A. But alas, I did.
That's Paul Feig reading the opening of his new memoir, Kick Me. Now, as you point out just a little further down into your book, that, you know, a lot of kids didn't even know what the word fag meant. So even though you were being called Paul Fag, a lot of kids had no clue what that was supposed to mean. I know when I was growing up, people used the words fag, fruit, fairy, and always meant that a boy was a little effeminate. Beyond that, if it had any meaning, I don't think we knew about it.
No, I don't think they really did. I always think it must be something they heard from their fathers or from their older brothers. And it sounded like an insult, and people reacted like it was an insult, and so it just got hurled around. In my neighborhood, insults were used so oddly. For some reason, my father bought me this backpack for my books when I was in, like, second grade, and I would ride my bike to school. And there was these mean kids who, when I would ride by with that backpack, they would call me the N-word for some reason. And it didn't even make sense because I knew what that word meant. And it was like, because I have a backpack, and then if you wore white socks, you were a Polack. So there was some sort of school logic that nobody gave me the handbook on to figure out.
So would you do the whole sticks and stones thing, or would you, insult the person back?
No, I was never tough enough to insult them back. I would either try to make a joke and get them to laugh, and if that didn't work, I would just hightail it out of there, basically, to my nerdier friends who were in the same boat, and we would just do dialogue from Warner Brothers cartoons and be glad that we had no athletic ability and no desire to beat up other kids like everyone around me seemed to have.
Now, your memoir of adolescence really got me thinking about some things that I haven't thought about in a while. Like, you say you'd always liked girls ever since you were five. What does it mean to have a crush on a girl when you're five or six, when you're in first or second grade?
It's odd because you don't get the support of your peer group. I thought it was normal because I was just attracted to girls, and I would, sort of tell that to one of my friends, and they'd give me this strange look of like, ew, you like her? Why do you like her? And then cooties, the word cooties would generally come into play, which I don't know where the whole concept of cooties came from, but if somebody could have patented it, they would have made millions of dollars off of it. But you really felt alone in a weird way, because if you wanted to hang out with girls, it was looked at that you were being a sissy or you were a girl or something. And so they never really caught on to it. Of course, then in later years, they surged past me very quickly, figured it out, and then actually figured what the next step was, as opposed to myself, who just became best friend to every girl I knew and the safe friend.
When you created the characters for Freaks and Geeks, what traits from yourself did you give to the main characters?
I actually think there's a bit of me in each character. What you tend to do is, the way I like to work is kind of break up my personality a bit and sprinkle it around.
Let's look at the two main characters, the sister and the brother.
Yeah.
Why don't you describe each of them and tell us which of those traits came directly from your life or from people that you knew?
Well, to be honest, I always describe it as Sam Weir was me back then and Lindsay Weir is me today. Because I always feel, and people will always back this up, that the teenage girls mature much quicker than teenage boys. And to the point of, I feel that teenage girls are probably at about the same emotional maturity level as guys in their 30s. Because it takes us so much longer to catch up to you guys. But for Sam, it was just this kid who really just is trying to get through the day with his friends and the things he likes, and he's not athletic, and he feels a bit intimidated by the tougher kids in school and the more popular kids, but he has a crush on the most beautiful girl in the school, the head cheerleader, which I did too. I asked this girl to go to the homecoming dance the day of the homecoming dance, thinking for some reason she would be available. It was completely relieved when she wasn't, but at least I gave it a try. And then for Lindsay, it's just the character that questions things more. I was really into just kind of not accepting things as they were, as a lot of teenagers are, but I always found that teenage girls were a little less likely to accept things as they were, at least the ones I knew back then. And I just love the idea of an adolescent questioning things, questioning everything, questioning their religion, questioning what they're being taught, questioning popularity. And so for her to go over and hang with the freaks or the burnouts was something that I was doing back then, just because I found them to be more honest and more real.
Were there any pressures on you when you were doing Freaks and Geeks to smooth out the rough edges of any of the characters?
Oh, yeah. The head of the network at that time, I remember, had a lunch with Judd Apatow, the exec producer, and basically said, can't these kids ever win? Can't they have a victory? Like, it drove him crazy that we had one episode where Sam Weir finally goes on a date with the head cheerleader, and when they're at the restaurant, the head football player walks in, and she basically confides in Sam that she's in love with him, and ends up by saying, "I love talking to you. You're just like my sister." And it just drove him crazy. He was like, he's on a date with a cheerleader, and she talks about another guy. Can't he have a successful victory? And for, it's like, no, he can't, because A, then what's the series? And B, that's not how life works out. If I went out with the cheerleader, a head cheerleader, and she said she loved me, well, then my whole life would have been different, and it wouldn't have occurred, because those kind of things in my world never occurred.
Paul Feig, speaking with Terry Gross in 2002. He's the creator of Freaks and Geeks, the cult TV series that will be released on DVD on April 6th.